Vayikel 57:84. I'd like to welcome everyone. Thanks our visitors for coming. Believe it or not, there's people that listen online to some of these things. So for those that are listening online, thank you. May you be blessed wherever and whenever you are listening to this. Today, I want to encourage us as a community, of course, and to think about how our community fits into maybe the grand divine plan of everything. The modern messianic Jewish movement is young, but it's maturing, and we are a part of that. So let us consider how to best participate in that movement. I'll talk a little bit about that and a little rabbit trail I found, of course, as I was putting these thoughts together. But this morning, let's start with a little Hebrew lesson. We're going to take one verse and take a look at it. And it was, it's from Exodus chapter 35. And it's actually a verse that Brother Brian read for us this morning. It's the very first verse of this week's Torah portion. We're going to talk about community a little bit. Community is mentioned a couple times in this very first verse. Very simple words. The first Hebrew word is vayikel. That's why it's named Parshat Vayikel, and it means Moses assembled. Vayikel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Vayikel, that first word, contains the first Hebrew word for assembly or congregation. You may be familiar with the term kahal. Many people have heard that that term, that root, right? Kaf, hey, lamed, represented by the English letters K, H, and L. That's sort of the root. And so that root word that means assembly or congregation, it gets conjugated. If you remember the days of high school Spanish, you have to conjugate words, right? Hebrew's the same way. And so it gets conjugated, vayikel, which means, and he assembled. That same three-letter root can be conjugated, kehiliat. Sometimes you'll see some Messianic Jewish congregations, their name will be Kehiliat Yeshua, or Congregation of Yeshua, right? And so that word, kahal, has various forms, of course, and that means congregation or assembly. Then Moses assembled, so there's that... that kahal in that sense there, but the word congregation in that first verse, if you have the Tree of Life version, is another word called adat. Ayin, dalet, tav, adat. That also means congregation or assembly. Hence, our name here, Adat Etzkayim, congregation of the Tree of Life. So written in tandem here, the Torah is really driving home the point that they want everyone to participate in this assembled congregation. There is something very important happening here. We have to remember this is coming off the heels of the sin of the golden calf. And so there needs to be sort of a reset, perhaps, in the people and in the relationship between Adonai and the Israelites. So they're getting everyone, every last person is getting called to stand before Moses to get a little teaching. And so most of what we read in the last several chapters and the chapters to come is the building of the Mishkan, right, the tabernacle, which teaches many lessons, of course. The half-shekel offering every Israelite gives teaches that everyone takes part in it, in the project. And when we read through this week's Torah portion, it's clear that everyone has taken part in that. You know, these are unifying endeavors that foster community and foster the relationship between creator and created. But before embarking on a long discussion of all the different parts of the Mishkan, Moses first reminds them of the mitzvot of Shabbat, something which is already mentioned several times throughout Scripture. So chapter 35, verse 1, opens with just a few simple verses. Then Moses assembled the congregation of Bnei Yisrael and said to them, "These are the words which Adonai has commanded you to do Work is to be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a holy day for you, a Shabbat of complete rest to Adonai. Whoever does any work then will die. Do not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on Yom Shabbat, Shabbat day. The Torah seems to want to stress a connection here between the idea of the unity of the people, the building of the Mishkan, and the observance of Shabbat. So all these three things going here at the same time. You have holy people, you have holy space, and you have holy time, all three sort of being connected and interwoven right here in these chapters. And everything from this point on is really rooted in that, rooted in the holy people, holy space, and holy time. It becomes sort of community holiness is what is being ingrained into the people here. And all three are interwoven and so important to the fabric of what Israel is. And as the centuries rolled on, many things would change. They'd change location and travel and do, you know, sometimes they were good, sometimes they were not so good. But the aspect of holiness, of holy people, space, and time remained central to the community. When Yeshua walked amongst us, that aspect of holiness was still central in the community. That's one reason many of us come here, is when we look back at the life of Yeshua and how he lived, many of us want to be that disciple that walked like he walked and lived like he lived. So that's what brings many people into this Messianic Jewish movement. At this point in my notes, I was going to reference Yeshua's participation in synagogue life to show continuity of faithfulness, how this has gone, this central idea of, you know, gathering and holy space and community and holy time all tied together. And I was reading into Luke 4, and I learned something new. I mean, new to me anyways. Maybe many of you already knew this, but I learned something, so I thought I'd share it with you, so humor me a little bit. Turn to Luke chapter 4. I don't have a page number, but I trust most of you folks out there can probably find Luke chapter 4. Certainly not one of the obscure little books that are sometimes hard to nail down that are only a few pages long. Luke chapter 4. It begins, of course, with a temptation, but I was not going to get into the temptation. I was going to get into Isaiah's prophecy, of course, which begins in the 14th verse of Luke chapter 4, which reads like this. Yeshua returned in the power of the Ruach, the Spirit, to the Galilee, and news about him went out through all the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone was praising him. And then he came to Nazareth, where he had been raised. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on Shabbat, and he got up to read. This would be the Haftorah portion. When the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. So he's quoting Isaiah here. The Ruach Adonai, the Spirit of God, is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed and proclaim the year of Adonai's favor. He closed the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue were focused on him. Then he began to tell them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears." Amen. So I flipped back a little bit. I wanted to take a look at Isaiah 61. So let's do that. Isaiah 61. Rolling around here. My page numbers aren't going to be exactly the same as your page numbers unless you have the family version. So you're kind of on your own to find Isaiah 51. It's a really big book. Isaiah 61. 445. If you have a family Bible like mine, it's 510. The font's a lot bigger in this one, so easier to read. Isaiah 61, this is what Yeshua was quoting as he was reading the Haftorah portion in synagogue on Shabbat. So I was like, okay, I want to go back and just read this. And Isaiah 61, verse 1 begins like this. The Ruach Adonai Elohim is on me, because Adonai has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening the prison of those who are bound, and proclaim the year of Adonai's favor. And that's where the quote stops in Luke chapter 4, but the verse continues, and the day of our God's vengeance. It's interesting, because Yeshua stopped before he said that part of the verse. Rabbi Stern of blessed memory, Dr. David Stern, takes note of that, in that that part of this oracle has not been fulfilled yet, that Yeshua meant to stop there in the middle of a sentence, because what he has done is proclaimed Adonai's favor and liberty, right, and the good news, but what he is not yet going to do is bring the day of God's vengeance. That is something yet to be fulfilled, and that was a hint by Yeshua stopping where he did. In Luke 4, he was hinting that this part of the oracle is forthcoming. And I thought that was a really interesting sort of nugget of, you know, you get that first coming and second coming sort of dual missions there. And his first mission of coming was to bring favor and redemption, right? But there's a time coming when there is a vengeance and justice coming. And that is something, this world might need a little bit of vengeance and justice. It'll probably do many of us some good. But Yeshua, what he did is he participated in community holiness. Holy people, holy space, holy time. This was something that was central to him, right? It was his custom. And this was something that began to spread all across the region, right? These communities that we often talk about. The early synagogues in Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi. All these were participating in that and filling up with lots of people of the nations, as you read in the books of the New Testament, of course. In many ways, looked a lot like what we have going on here. But they went through some significant changes in the years following biblical times, right? Judaism and Christianity sort of parted ways. You know, wasn't a lot of unity going on at that point. And it is easy to look back and highlight the errors of the early church and how they broke away from the holy people and the holy land and the holy Shabbat, right? But the Lord uses those errors for good, right? Because of those errors, monotheism spread throughout the world. Rambam, Torah scholar from the Middle Ages, 12th century. Now, Christianity, unfortunately, was not the friendliest towards Judaism during that time and others. But Rambam mused about Christianity when he wrote Mishneh Torah. And in Mishneh Torah, he wrote that Christianity served to clear the way for the Jewish Messiah to prepare the whole world to worship God. And he talked about there is a Jewish hope, and Torah and the commandments are familiar topics of conversation, even among those on far isles and many people, and even uncircumcised people. So even Rambam, 1,000 years ago, recognized that that division of Christianity and Judaism wasn't for naught, it wasn't for nothing, that Christianity, they did spread the message of the Bible all around the world. And so to be charitable, Christianity helped bring the message of Messiah to all lands all across the globe, and many of us are here because of that. And so our community today looks very different, right? Everything looks different today than it looked, 100 years ago, or not even that long ago. It looks a lot different, and it seems to change on a dramatic scale by the week these days, but certainly, most believers in Messiah meet on the first day of the week, on Sunday, which is it's great to assemble every day of the week to worship the Lord. And they developed many new traditions, some of them not so consistent with what we see in biblical times, some very not consistent. But our mission is to be a light, to draw people in. That's what the mission of the Messianic Jewish movement is. It's not to expose the wrongdoings of whoever or wickedness. There's plenty of wickedness out there. And trying to expose that's just distraction in one's life. It's not our calling. Trust me, Adonai sees all, and he will judge accordingly. The Lord will have his day of vengeance, as Isaiah says. But we have today, and things are changing. If you have a glass half-empty view, you might think things are just changing for the worst. But if you have a glass half-full view, you can see that things are changing for the good. People are beginning to return to this worldview that is consistent with these early communities. And our movement is evident of that. We return to that, trying to tap into that community holiness, sense of community holiness that they had, right? We recognize and support, we tap into the holy land, the holy people, the holy Shabbat. It's that original sort of foundation that was set up way back in Shemot in the book of Exodus. And Christians in many places are trying to tap into this. They're beginning to see. Many of us experience that. Vicki Tasman has been working with many Christians down in where she lives at. Many others, people here, Greg, John Smith, you know, they bring a little bit of that light to the Christian communities they take part in. I myself am working with several area churches on Passover Seders and Torah studies that they have during the weekdays. It's amazing how that worldview is beginning to hit people, that light's beginning to penetrate a little bit, and people are beginning to be drawn to that. But to maintain the calling to be a light, we need our own community to be, to help encourage us and support us. But we also need support of the Messianic Jewish movement. Hence our establishing friendships all across the movement. Today, David and Jeanette are in Chicago visiting Devar Emet, Messianic Jewish Synagogue. Devar, word, Emet, truth, word of truth, right? Word of truth is who publishes our new siddurs that we started using about a month ago. Has it been that long? Maybe a month and a half. Anyways, they're over there this morning establishing new friendships, right, strengthening our ties to the Messianic Jewish movement. That's why we have spent efforts to join the MJAA, which is going very well. And a great way to take part in this is going to be a little plug for Messiah Conference, is consider Messiah Conference this July. It's very, I don't want to sound melodramatic, but it's life-altering. It'll shatter your just worldview and just be so anointed with the Spirit. That's melodramatic, but it's awesome. Messiah Conference. I and my wife and Joanna are going. The Kubiaks are going. There's plenty of time to plan for this. And that connection, that sense of community is something that is we're able to bring back here that will help enrich our community. And this isn't all for the sake of us to just hoard all the holiness. It's our job to be that light to help diffuse this holiness and all this goodness out into our community. So it's very encouraging, very uplifting to be reaching out in the budding, young, but maturing Messianic Jewish movement. Very important that we do that. Very important that we meet here to encourage each other on the local level. But I would encourage you to tap into the movement on a little bit more regional or global level. So I will leave you with this blessing. May we all be refreshed and encouraged as we delight and recharge on this Shabbat day. May we continue to pray for the Holy Land and the people that are there for justice and peace. And may we be that light drawing people nearer our Messiah, his Torah, and his people. Shabbat Shalom.